This is Audible.
Audible Originals presents The Decision. Overcoming today's BS for tomorrow's success. Written and performed by Kevin Hart. You're listening to my Audible exclusive audiobook. It doesn't actually exist as a book. So I don't know exactly why they're calling it an audiobook. Because really, it's just audio without the book. So I don't really know what this is supposed to be called. I don't really know. But hey, here's what I do know. I know that it has a title. And I know this because I made it up out of my own head. It's called The Decision. Overcoming today's BS for tomorrow's success by Kevin Hart. See, now look, there's something special about this book, people. This book is dedicated to you. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you deserve to have a book dedicated to you. That's why. And if you don't think that you deserve it, then you definitely got to listen to this book. Because it's all about learning that you deserve the best that life has to offer. It's yours for the taking. If you get out of your own way. And if you don't let the small-mindedness of others get in your way. I'm already off to a good start. Dropping gems out my butt. So listen, you can start practicing right now by feeling like you truly deserve this dedication. Because I didn't just dedicate it to anyone. I dedicated it to you. Specifically, no one else. And let me tell you, you can't hide from this dedication. It's too late. You're in too deep now. The next part of this audio thing is what's called the epigraph. That's the quote that begins a book. Now, it's important because it sets the tone and the mood for what you're reading. And this quote was written by the smartest man I know. Me. Now, before you go thinking that that sounds arrogant, I want you to understand that I didn't say that this quote was from the smartest person you know. I said it's from the smartest person that I know. And you don't know who else I know. I mean, who else am I going to quote? Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Stop it. The guy's name after a rock. Show me a smart rock. Go find one. Go pick up a rock right now. Ask the rock a question and see if a rock answers you back. It's not going to answer you back because it's stupid. Because it's a stupid rock. So I'm not going to quote that. You want me to quote my friend Spank Horton? Who's going to quote a grown man named Spank? He's already losing. His nickname is a loser nickname. Okay, here's the quote. The only time that you should look back in life is to see how far you've come. Ooh, oh my God. Somebody put me out because I'm on fire. I'm on fire. That is a quote by Kevin Hart. I said that in the past, which means I look back to get that quote. Wait, fuck. Hold on. I think I'm doing this audiobook thing wrong, guys. Am I doing it wrong or right? Shit. Whatever. Let's just keep it going. I'm just going to assume that I'm doing it the right way. Part one. The fuck yes moment. An invitation to a special event. Here's the good news. You're exactly where you need to be right now. Everything in your life brought you to this moment. You're listening to this because you want to be the best for yourself. Or maybe you're listening to it because you thought that this was my new special and you clicked the wrong button. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You're here now, which means that you get an exclusive invitation to a very special event. Now, if you decide to accept, I need you to get fired up because when you arrive, we're going to start having the most important conversation of your entire life. And that's the one about how you can overcome your internal bullshit to succeed and living this one short, precious, incredible life to the fullest. Now, with my last book, I Can't Make This Up, which was a number one New York Times bestseller, In Your Face, drop that goddamn bomb. That's a book bomb. Boom, bitch. I just book bombed you. Here's the thing about that book. Everything was about taking the positive from a negative. Your downs only set you up for major ups. The one thing that people took away from that book was that my story of who I am is real. I'm authentic. But now, instead of who, the question is how. How do I keep going? How am I able to take the bad and let it sit on my shoulders and walk away as if it never had any effect on me? The answer to that question is because mentally, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Mentally, I understand life. I understand ups and downs. I understand the good and the bad. I understand that all of the shit that you go through only prepares you for the moment where that education is supposed to become of use. So if I go back and I look at all of the dumb shit that my mom told me that I hated, and all the stupid shit that I found out in school that I thought was unnecessary information, and I look at that stuff now, everything was valuable to me as it was. Everything was valuable. Every last thing was valuable. For example, my mom, as beautiful and amazing of a woman as she was very strict. If you read my last book, you would know what I'm talking about. I didn't really have a personal life. My mom took up all of my free time with extracurricular activities, or I was up under her. Point blank, she didn't want the streets to get the best of me. But because of that, I found myself doing work that was a little overbearing, that I never understood why. From carrying way too many bags of groceries to 76 blocks, to reading on weekends when I felt like that should be my free time dedicated to whatever cartoon I decided to choose, to doing reports that were for her. What the fuck is that, Mom? I got school, work, and school. Why are you making me do reports for you? Read that book and give me a report on it, Kevin. Huh? That's what you're going to do on Sunday. Why? What'd I do? You ain't do nothing. You don't have to do nothing to learn. Learning is free. You're going to do it. And you're going to appreciate it. What I ended up doing was hating it. Hated it. Hated to read. Hated it. Hated doing extra work. Hated it. But I'll be damned if older Kevin now doesn't get it. I know what my mom was doing. My mom simply laid the groundwork from day one of hard work. Hard work and the rewards that come from it. I didn't see the rewards back then. I didn't see them. I was too young to see them. But as I got older, not completing something was frowned upon for me. Not finishing, not doing my best, not trying to do more, not wanting to overachieve, going past the recommended structure or ask. It's something that I became used to. All we need you to do, Kevin, is just get here at 8 and stay until 4. Well, I'm going to get there at 7 and stay until 6. Why? Well, nobody said that I couldn't. I just want to show people that I'm willing to do. As a comedian, I did more. First comedian in, last one out. That was groundwork that was fucking placed in my mind from my mother way back when. So what I hated, I ended up benefiting from the most. Once again, the point is, that sometimes you don't see the immediate lesson that is attempting to be taught. Sometimes you can look past the moment because your frustration and anger doesn't allow you to see the win that's in your future. It's a positive way of thinking about everything if you choose to find it. I now know it, which is why I choose to inform. And that's what we're about to do. We're about to jump onto a different level of understanding. Of thinking. That's what we're about to do. So welcome to my very first mental boot camp. You're in it now. There's no turning back, people. I'm going to share things I never had before that will help you start making what I call the decision. I said that in my bad guy voice, by the way. The decision. The decision. Sounds like Steven Seagal in one of his bad guy movies. The Decision. Steven Seagal. If you watch a Steven Seagal movie now, I swear to God, you'll laugh nonstop. It says the same line in every movie. You tell Ronnie that I came here and that I'm looking for him.
I find him, it's going to be trouble.
You see, life is a constant series of decisions, and the mental strength you bring to making them will be the single defining factor in your health and your happiness. The decision I'm talking about will present itself in many different forms at all hours of the day. It'll cause you to fumble and misstep. Sometimes, the decision will require going past the edges of your comfort zone and the upper limits of your beliefs and stepping into the unknown. Let me say that again, because I got to make sure you process that. Sometimes, the decision will require going past the edges of your comfort zone and the upper limits of your beliefs and stepping into the unknown. You're going to need to trust yourself and push yourself like never before. But all that effort will pay back 1,000 times over. The decision is the one between the things that will keep you stuck and those that will move you forward, make you stronger, and serve your growth. It's the decision to endure temporary discomfort and take the path with more resistance, not the least. Now, look, I can say that in a sentence. I can. But making this decision will not be easy. You know why? Because life is not easy. That's not how it was designed, people. It involves a series of struggles. You got to work to fight your battles, survive, and make progress. And some of that work is on the outside world, and some takes place on the inside. I'd even argue that the inside work is more important because it's your mental, by which I mean your mindset. See, that's what gets you out of bed and outside in the first place. Because it's my belief that all the success that I've had, and I will have a lot more, is due to my mental. It all starts in the head, people. And everything, including whether you cultivate a talent and whether you share it, is an extension of that. In short, mental strength, mental discipline, mental toughness. I'm going to call it many things in this book. Is the art of living the miracle of this one life you have to its highest potential, which is an endless series of tough decisions. And in order to make the best ones, you have to battle against a constant onslaught of bullshit. Do you know where bullshit comes from? Hint, it doesn't come from other people. It comes from your own head. See, you can't control every external event. Sorry to be the one to break that piece of news to you if no one has before. But you can't choose the weather or who wins a big game or what other people think. It's not up to you. But you can control, or at least learn to control, how you think about these things. See, you can make the decision to be depressed that it's raining and that it ruined your plans and that the whole universe is conspiring against you. And then after that, you can take your unhappiness out on everyone around you. Or you can decide to make new plans and be committed to having an even better time staying indoors. And then be grateful afterwards that it rained and you got to have all this fun that you didn't expect. These are not just ways to trick your mind. These are ways to truly succeed. They are intentional choices because each of these two different ways of thinking leads to a different path. And I know which one I'd rather be on, but you have to decide for yourself. So here's your first decision. Will you accept my invitation and join the Kevin Hart Mental Fitness Bootcamp? Are you ready to get your mind right and prepare for the battle of your life? If you're still hearing my voice, I'm going to take that as a fuck yeah, Kevin. I'm in. Show me the way. Well, all right, people. I like your fire. I like that you're fired up. You know why? Because you're going to need that. This is exactly the kind of thing that we're looking for in new recruits. And I can tell you're going to do well. But before we make it official, you should know a little bit more about what you're getting yourself into. Before we press forward, a quick disclaimer. This audiobook is about what has worked for me and how I think about things. I'm going to say that again. It's about what has worked for me and how I think about things. I spared no thoughts and pulled no punches. So when I talk about how the mind works, I want you to understand, people. It's not any kind of statement about mental health and the challenges that people face around it. I stand behind anyone struggling with mental illness. This is about my mental journey with myself and my own life and some lessons that you might also find useful. So I'm not telling you the right way to do anything. There's just an invitation to see things in the way that has worked for me. And I hope that those ways will work for you too. All right? That disclaimer is out the way. Should I have read that fast? How they doing those commercials when they are offering medicine that make you shit or that could, like, you could go blind or something like that. Maybe I'm going to try it like that. I'm going to do my disclaimer, but I'm going to read it fast. How they doing on those commercials? Because on the commercials, they don't really want the people to know all those things can happen. They basically saying, take this medicine, and if you end up shitting on yourself and going blind, that's on you. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to read it that way, okay? Before we press forward, a quick disclaimer. This audiobook is about the things that have worked for me in my life, and I've spared no thoughts and pulled no punches. When I talk about how the mind works or should work, it's not any kind of statement about mental health and the challenges that people face around it. I stand behind anyone struggling with mental illness. This is about my mental journey, about myself, my own life, some lessons that you also might find useful, and I'm telling you the right way to do anything. Just an invitation to see things the way that work for me, and I hope you work for you too. Yeah, that's how I should have did it, right? The question that I get the most is, Kevin, how do you keep going? Kevin, why do you keep pushing yourself? Why? Well, the answer is because I'm not easily shaken or stumbled. It's because I'm mentally where I'm supposed to be. And I understand that life has its ups and it has its downs. And when you understand that, you realize that life is not supposed to be perfect. It's not. This shit ain't easy. The game of life is one of obstacles. And it's about overcoming those obstacles. Having the mindset to realize that just because one obstacle got in your way, it doesn't mean that you are supposed to stop. It means that you got to figure out how to get around it. But it's all about you. It's all about the way you think. It's all about keeping that energy and eagerness to succeed for you, not for anybody else. It's about you. And when you process that and you understand it, I swear, you realize that you can become the best you possible. You can become the best version of you. It's so fulfilling to understand that and to get that and to apply that on a day-to-day basis. I've been doing that. And I swear to you people, it makes me happy knowing that I'm not easily shaken or broken. It makes me happy knowing that every time I get knocked down, that I'm going to get up. That makes me happy. I feel like you all can do the same thing. I feel like you all can think the same way. And I feel like sometimes it just takes a story. Sometimes it just takes an individual's transparency and high level of honesty and life experiences to help point others in the right direction. Sometimes you just need a little boost. This is about giving a boost. This is about talking in detail, simply about making the right decisions. How do we make it easier? How do we make it better? How do we enhance it? I'm going to show you. Follow me on this journey. This journey of transparency. I got to stop raising my voice like that. I think I'm scaring people. If I'm not scaring you, if you're along for the ride, then let's begin. The art of thriving. People talk about survival. That to stay alive, you need to be able to obtain food, water, shelter, warmth, and safety. If you're listening to this audiobook, then you probably got those covered. Good job, people. You survived so far. The next step is survival. That's right. I said it. Survival. I just made that word up. Or at least I thought I did. Until I Googled it, and I got 46,000 results, which in my world of mental discipline isn't a disappointment. It just lets me know that that's a great idea because other people already agree. See that? You see how I flipped that? You see how I did that right there? I didn't get discouraged when I realized I didn't create the word. Instead, I got excited when I realized that other people think like me. They just beat me to it. I didn't hear it before. Or at least I don't think I have. Look, we're going down the wrong road here. All right? We don't need to get into that. Bottom line, survival is about thriving. Because survival is not enough. You want to thrive. You want to reach the ceiling of what you're capable of. And even then, try to break through and go higher. Because today's ceiling is just tomorrow's floor. And you do this not just by making sure your physical needs are taken care of, but by looking after your mental needs as well. And today, more than ever, it takes mental strength to be successful. By the way, let's define what I mean by success. Because what I want for my life might be different than what you want. Success is simply setting goals that are true to you, adjusting them as needed, and then reaching them. It's that simple. They may be career goals, relationship goals, happiness goals, spiritual goals, family goals, changing the world goals, or soccer goals. Whatever your aspirations may be, you deserve the best. So the kind of success that we're talking about in this audiobook is when you set the bar high for yourself and then reach it. To do this takes mental toughness. Because reaching that bar usually isn't just a matter of stretching out your arms. No, it's not that. Because there are all kinds of obstacles, and many of them unexpected, between you and that bar. And the struggle is not to give up. To keep making the hard decisions that allow you to grab that bar with both hands. Pull and be even better. Be a happier person at the top. But the journey doesn't stop there. You know, I've seen many people reach that bar, but get scared or intimidated or overwhelmed. And then you know what they do? They let it go. Instead of swinging for the next bar. In mountain climbing, you know, the higher you go, the less pressure there is. You get lighter. But with fame, money, status, success, the higher you go, the more pressure there is. And you need to keep getting stronger and stronger to withstand it and keep climbing. In fact, in my experience, it's actually easier to get successful than it is to stay successful. I'm going to say that again because I don't think you heard me. It's actually easier to get successful than it is to stay successful. See, I've seen this happen to comedians, athletes, and actors again and again. Operating at a high level and being subjected to the public criticism will fuck people's heads up faster than just about anything I've ever seen in my life. Even if your goal isn't fame, but just to find a good person to settle down with, you're probably going to have to experience a lot of rejection, self-doubt, shit-talking, and mistakes along the way. And when you do find that person, after that initial excitement period ends, and you start to get more seriously committed to looking at the future together, new challenges come up. Now look, Lord knows I'm no relationship coach. There's always lessons to be learned and things to be improved. And by the way, it's not always a struggle, but some people make it a struggle anyway. Sometimes the world is perfectly kind to them and opens up a road straight to success. But on the inside, they'll fuck it up. They'll sabotage because deep down, they're afraid of success, afraid of failure, afraid of criticism, or afraid that they're just not good enough. Some are even afraid of all these things. So they're back out of the race before the finish line just to avoid being vulnerable. This is also a decision. It's just not the best one. Mental strength training. The point is, the world is a never-ending series of tests. And failure is letting just one of those tests cause you to decide to give up or to lose your mental. Mental strength is about knowing who you are, getting your thinking dialed in to work for you instead of against you, and staying cool, balanced, and positive no matter what comes your way so you can keep making the decision to stay on track. The reason this is important to me personally is largely on account of my large amount of screw-ups. But instead of letting each one destroy me, I've learned from those mistakes and I've decided to use them to grow stronger, though some took longer than others. It's kind of like Ultron in the Avengers. Except, no, actually, you know what? Ultron's a supervillain. Let's take that out. Yeah, because he was also ultimately destroyed. So I don't want to use that. Never mind. Forget that. I can't keep all those movies straight anyway. It's too many of them. The point that I'm making is, I'm still standing, people. I'm recording a book about conquering your mental obstacles and setting new and higher bars to reach for myself. So something worked. I did something right. And that something is my outlook. If it was negative and self-destructive, I would have been out of the game so many times. When I got pelted with chicken wings and booed off stage. When I was the runt of the New York comedy scene and the big comics wouldn't even let me sit at their table. When my first network sitcom got canceled. When my first big movie bombed at the box office. When no one in Hollywood would take meetings with me. When I lost my dream gig of hosting the Oscars. There are hundreds and hundreds of examples like these, which means there are hundreds of forks in the road to navigate correctly and recover from when you navigate incorrectly. This was all my mental strength training. At every point along the way, I made the decision to not let it beat me down. Was it easy? Fuck no. Did I feel like giving up? Sometimes. But I'd always return to my refusal to let other people's issues mess with my head and get in the way of following my heart and my vision. And that's what this audiobook is about. People always ask me, how are you like this? You're always upbeat. You're always happy. You always go after it. You always wonder it. How are you like this? Well, I'm about to put all the answers in one place. I'm going to talk them at you. Not just for you, but for me. I want to live in a world where everybody wakes up each day ready to apply themselves and give 100% and say to the world, I want to be the best version of myself today. And I want you to succeed in that commitment. So think of this audiobook as a training program to get your mental right. I will walk you through from experience everything you need on the inside to fulfill your dreams on the outside. We begin with boot camp. I'll start by covering the bullshit you'll need to check at the door before even entering my school. Then we'll talk about the good qualities of character that are going to replace that tired old bullshit. Then I'll give you some tools and weapons that you'll need to use to navigate the battlefield of life and make the right decisions. And for those who need extra training, well, we'll get in the mental gym and I'll give you some exercises to help you literally rewire your brain for your best life. Once you've graduated boot camp, this book is not over. No, it's not over. It just means you're ready to get out there in the real world and accomplish your dreams. See, I'm not going to leave you out on your own here. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hold your hand until you get this right. We'll get into the common challenges that arise on the road to success and how to handle them. Keeping calm and motivated amidst the ups and downs, the challenges and obstacles of life. Finally, we'll talk about the big picture. Your motivation, what you're really working for, and how to keep moving. Because to win this battle and make it through the toughest decisions, you have to know that you're doing it for a higher good. And if you're ready for my mental fitness boot camp, which I think you are at this point, there are a few things that you're going to need to prepare for the journey. Part 2. Know before you go. What to leave at home before entering this program. Life's not about what you carry with you on your journey. It's about what you leave behind. And before entering my boot camp, there's some things you're going to need to leave at home. First of all, street shoes. Just get some new shoes. Today. I'm serious. I mean it. I'm not playing. These new shoes are going to be a symbol of your new life. You're going to keep them clean and wear them proudly. And every time you look down at them, you're going to think, I am walking into my future. Imagine just throwing out your oldest, raggiest pair of shoes and then just go do it. Because that's the easiest thing that you'll be letting go of. The rest is going to be hard for some of you, but possible. That's right, I said it. The rest is going to be hard for some of you, but it will be possible. See, I believe that with the right information, anybody can succeed. But there are some visible roadblocks and detours along the way that stop 99% of people from getting to their destination. If you can identify them and you see them work inside your own mind, then guess what? You've just done the hardest part of the program. What I'm about to tell you are some of the most common ways people waste their mental energy and inhibit the use of stronger, more productive traits. What I call the weapons of success, which I'll show you afterwards. Before you can wield the right tools, you must first empty your hands of the useless tools most of us have been trained to use. Sometimes it takes a lot of mental energy to make good decisions. So the first step is looking at the ways you're wasting that precious brain fuel on bullshit that keeps you standing still or moving backwards. We start learning by unlearning. This is ground zero. From this foundation, we will build the new you. In the process, well, you'll see that your mental game can be your biggest ally or your biggest enemy. It's what makes the decision every day to work for you or against you. Listen, I know in the last minute none of you actually threw out your old shoes. But you thought about it. You imagined doing it. You may have even planned to do it. And that's all I'm asking of you now. In the same way you just threw out your shoes in your imagination, you're going to throw away 11 other things in your mind as well before beginning this program. Why 11? Well, because most people list 10 things. And I'm an overachiever. That's right. I go above. Fuck 10. I just set a new bar. 11. Number one, jealousy. Wishing you were someone else or had what they have is the first waste of your time and your mental energy. While you're busy being caught up in insecurity, wishing that you had someone else's car, house, outfit, personality, relationship, you're putting yourself and your life on hold. Rather than just building up from where you are right now on your lot, which is the place that you start from, you're busy inspecting and criticizing someone else's real estate. True story. My friend got into a big argument one time with his lady because she was mad that he wasn't holding her hand enough based off of them going out with another couple and that man holding his wife's hand all the time. Marcus holds his lady's hand all the time. You need to hold my hand more. You need to hold my hand like Marcus holds her hand. I want you to do to me what he does to her. Let me tell you something about Marcus and his wife. They both got hit by a car and nobody could run away because they were holding hands and nobody could escape. So when the person froze up, he grabbed that hand tighter. Boom! They both went down. And I'm not saying don't hold your lady hand when you walk across the street, but I am saying leave room to escape. We ain't both got to get hit. Now, that's just an example of what I'm talking about. You can't want what someone else has because that may not be good for you. Marcus almost killed my friend by making my friend hold his lady's hand more. This story is going to help people. It's also going to stop the whole fucking holding hands movement. This is a message to my wife personally. She loves it when I hold her hand. I don't really, it's not really not my thing. I get sweaty hands. My palms sweat. All right, we're getting off track again, and that's something I'm very insecure about. They used to call me Wet Palm in high school. True story. Whatever. Okay, here, bottom line, what I'm saying is that jealousy can have you just feeling bad in general, bad or negative, about yourself. Or it might even have you direct that negative outward thinking just on anything. They just got good luck. If I had some of that, I'd be living like that too. Deep down beneath those judgments, let me tell you something. All you're doing is feeling bad about yourself. It's you thinking where they're at or what they've got is better than where you're at or what you've got. And you don't believe it's possible for you to achieve the same thing. Then guess what? You'll hate on them for it. You know how much energy it takes to hate? You know how much time it takes to hate? You know how much mental space is occupied by hate? That takes a lot of time and energy. Why not free that space up for something else? Because you aren't them. You don't have what they have. But you got what you got. And you are who you are. No, I'm not trying to be the black Dr. Seuss. It's just simple. It's profound truth. Don't waste your time and energy on what other people have. Because your personality is not theirs. And the life that works for you will look different than what works for them. What you have to learn and develop is different from what they have to learn and develop. It's fine to admire someone or aspire to emulate something they do or have role models. But when it's not coming from a pure positive place, you're headed off course and down a dead end crash and burn. Or you're going to get hit by a car for holding hands like Marcus. Number two, perfectionism. It's good to spend time refining your craft and wanting to do your best or create the best thing possible. But the critical mind that makes those improvements can quickly become a mechanism for self-protection that slams the brakes on your forward progress. And what's beneath the need to get it just right, usually is driven by a compulsion to look good and a fear of being judged as mediocre or a fraud because we've got our worth and our identity so tied up in what it is we're doing. Step back, let things be good enough. Put yourself out there and be okay with producing imperfect results. I'm not saying be lazy and do things half-assed. I'm saying do your best in every moment and keep moving. The biggest growth and strides toward mastery come from making mistakes. You learn what works and what doesn't, what's authentic to you and what's not. You get to calibrate your process and get closer to becoming a sniper when you take the next shot. If you're holding on to things for too long or never letting them go because you want it to be perfect, you're not allowing yourself to pull the trigger and execute and make mistakes and evolve. And who trusts somebody that's perfect? You can't relate to that. Hear me and hear me good. Fuck perfect. Perfect doesn't exist. It doesn't. Perfect scores do. Oh yeah, let's make sure we say that. Perfect scores do, but perfect people don't. Yeah, now I know my body may seem a little perfect because of my amazing body, my broad shoulders, my chiseled back. Amazing abs, these calves, these calf muscles that look like they were hand-picked from a calf farm. I know, but guess what? I'm 5'4", and I got ugly feet. That's right, God gave me a batch of ugly feet. I got 2 deer hoofs, some of the goddamn worst toenails I've ever seen in my life. But here's the thing, people. I stand on these 2 imperfect feet. Proud, and I choose to walk on them. And I'm bold enough to show my toenails now. You know why? Because I don't give a fuck. Fuck perfect. Who cares? If I'm happy, then that's what matters. If I feel good, then that's what matters. I'm not worried about you looking at my feet and you not feeling good about my feet. That ain't got shit to do with me. I'm where I need to be. Fuck perfect. 3, comparison. Comparing yourself to other people, whether it's up or down, is another thing that creates anxiety and keeps you idle. Comparing yourself up means putting yourself beneath other people and thinking you're not as good or don't have as much. Comparing yourself down means putting yourself above other people and thinking, well, at least I'm not that fucked up. I'm already good. I can relax and stop trying. Looking in either direction is taking the focus off of where it needs to be. On you. All that matters is your best, your path, your skill level. If you get caught up in where other people are at, you're letting yourself get distracted from what needs to be done to develop yourself. You stop moving and stop growing. Comparison is one of the biggest toxins in the digital age. Everything looks perfect from far away, especially when people get to choose exactly what angles and moments you can see. People scroll through each other's highlight reels and think their own lives aren't good enough because every frame isn't shiny and perfect. Right now, you're basing your life off of likes. Likes. Really understand that, people. You're basing your life over a fingertip tapping the screen of your phone. That's what it boils down to. A fingertip tap is justification that things are good, that you look good, that life is good, that this is a good day. This moment is dope. You know how I know? Because I got a lot of likes. My comments are popping, which means I got approval. What I'm doing must be great because other people said it was. That doesn't make sense to me anymore. It doesn't make sense because somehow we've all gotten caught up into this matrix. This digital matrix of needed approval. I kind of feel good about today. Let me post this moment and see if other people do too. If other people say this is a good outfit, then it has to be a good outfit. If other people like my hair, then I guess I chose right. What about you? What about you? And if and when they decide to take all the likes away, how will you operate? if they decide to say you can't leave comments underneath anything, pictures, photos, stories, how will you move forward? If all you could do is post a picture without getting any feedback on it, or post a video and you got no feedback on it, what would your feeling be then? Would you still do it as much? Would you be happy with whatever you chose to put up for the world to see? These are the answers that people have yet to have because they haven't asked the questions. Ask the question of, do you need the approval? And without the approval, does life go on? Guess what? It does. It does. This world ain't gonna stop. That sun is gonna shine every morning, and that moon is gonna come up at night, with or without the approval from others. It's about you. Compare yourself to you. Point blank. Number four, unhealthy fear. Anybody who tells you that they've gotten rid of fear is a jackass. I'm serious. I tell you what, put that dummy in a cage with a Bengal tiger and let's see them try and breathe their way through that one. Fear is natural. It protects us from danger. But sometimes our brain can take that survival mode response and put it on basic, everyday stuff, and it creates the feeling of danger where there's none to be found. It's just an illusion. This is unhealthy fear. It's when you get worked up and afraid about shit that is not life-threatening. It clouds your thinking. It freezes you in position and keeps you from being who you really are. Okay, listen to this. Ground only gets broke by people that aren't afraid to try to break it. People that are okay with walking on safe ground without the knowledge or understanding that it can break or will break could do that forever. Forever. But there's only a certain amount of people that are going to say, what'll happen if I break this shit? There's only a certain amount of people that are going to ask, what's underneath the ground? There's only a certain amount of people that get curious about the unknown. There's a lot of people that are content with simply not knowing. You gotta ask yourself, which one are you? You gotta ask yourself, how is greatness achieved? It's not by doing what others do. It's by doing what you want to do. It's about achieving what you feel you can achieve. That's the difference. That's the difference in individual. That's the difference in the way of thinking. I personally don't know why people put themselves in cages and go in the ocean and let sharks come up and bite the cages. I personally don't know that. I personally don't know what that feels like or what it does. But there's an individual that came up with the fucking idea that said, I want to go down there and see, but I want to be safe in this environment while doing it. Build a cage. Make a cage bite-proof. Put cameras on a cage. Drop me down. I want to fucking get rid of this fear. Or I just simply want to see because I'm curious. Somebody did that. Somebody thought about that. I personally would have never thought about that shit. And even now that it exists, I personally am still not getting my black ass in it, which doesn't help the point that I'm making. But what I'm saying is that somebody thought about it. You can't see what's underneath the ocean when you look at it. All you see is the water on top. Somebody was bold enough to say, I'm jumping in that shit. There was no fear. And because that fear was broken, another world was discovered. There's some beauty in that. There's some beauty in what I just said if you really fucking listen to it and you really understand it. Sometimes not knowing sets up the opportunity for an amazing find. Number five, fear of failure. This fear deserves a category of its own. Because it's the strongest one that will hold you back. This one will keep you from even thinking about taking steps forward. not taking action or taking a risk because you're afraid that it might not work out is just plain stupid. It would be like a quarterback deciding to never throw a pass because it might not get caught. Or every team in the NFL backing out of the Super Bowl because there's a chance that they might not win. Most people choose to suffer and be stuck than trying something new and working to become who they really want to be. On some level, it makes sense. Because your dreams and a sense of purpose feel really important. The thought of them not working out feels terrible. But what would it mean if you made a move and it didn't work out? If it failed? All it means is you took a shot and it didn't work out. Cool. Next. It doesn't mean shit about you. When some people take a swing and they miss, they start thinking, oh, I'm a failure. I can't do anything right. Look, I went and fucked it all up again. I knew I shouldn't have even left the house today. Goddamn. That's just life, people. Almost half the things you do won't hit. So reset and swing again. And anytime you've done something great or achieved something, there was a chance that you might not have done it. You just didn't see it that way at the time. Having succeeded at anything means you work to beat the possibility of it not working out. The pressure just increases the higher you set your sights. Either you accept the risk is there and you keep moving, or you stay trapped in the same place. You can't have greatness and triumph without risk. There's always a risk. Every time I step on stage and I start working on new material to build up a new hour special, there is a risk. The risk is, this may not be better than one that I did before. The risk is, people may not think some of this stuff is funny. The risk is, I don't know if something I'm talking about is going to be funny. The reward is working on that craft and getting it to a place to my liking. To my liking. Things that happen that are great are a discovery. You got to discover the greatness to know that you're at a great level. Oh shit, this is great. I'm not supposed to be doing another book. I'm not supposed to be a person that inspires, that motivates, that encourages. I'm just supposed to be a comedian. While being a comedian, I discovered a likeliness in simply motivating others. In simply pushing others in the direction of greatness. Because I understand what it means because I found it for myself. I want other people to find it for them. This is a discovery. It's something that I found. So now there's a personal triumph for me giving this information and you taking it and applying it and going, Kev, that book, The Decision, helped me. That book made me start thinking differently. And man, let me tell you, life has been great after. It's a discovery. But I'm not afraid to take the risk of giving this information. I'm not afraid of taking the risk of putting this book out. You gotta be okay with wanting to take the risk. Once again, you can't have greatness and triumph without risk. Number 6, resistance. You know that feeling when you're sitting on the couch, shoulder deep in the bag of Doritos, or it might be elbows for you. It's shoulders for me because I'm smaller than a lot of people. Whatever, regardless, you get the point. And while you're shoulder deep in that bag of Doritos, you look over your sneakers and think to yourself, man, you know what? I should go ahead and hit the gym. I told myself I was going to go to the gym today. I still got some time. Yeah, but damn, man, I do feel tired. And my left pinky toe still fucking with me. It's sore. You know what? I'm going to go tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to go tomorrow. It was one day. One day ain't nothing. Not in the big picture. Guess what? That is resistance. It shows up as thoughts, feelings, and actions that put off actually doing the work and taking the steps towards the things you really want. It pushes you to decide to take the path of least resistance, which is often the path to least success and happiness. Why? Well, because it's uncomfortable. It challenges the way you see yourself. The mind doesn't like change. It likes the familiar. It loves the couch. Nothing unexpected or dangerous can happen there. That is, unless you count the slow decline into seething regret. That's about it. Resistance is you talking yourself off of your plan. That gym conversation is an example of talking yourself off of your plan. Hey, man, you know what? I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. And then the alarm goes off. The alarm goes off at 5:30, giving you a reminder to get up at 6. And you look at that alarm at 5:30, you go, you know what? I was going to get up at 6, but I swear, man, I'm still tired. I don't really need to get up at 6. I'm going to get up at 6:15. And then 6:15 comes up, and you look at the alarm again, and you go, you know what? I'm going to get another 20 minutes, man. I ain't going to get up at 6:15. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to get up at like 6:35. I'm going to set the alarm again. I'm going to get up at 6:35. You just keep snoozing it. And before you know, you don't get your ass up out that bed until 8 a.m. Because you talked yourself into it. There's resistance there. It's just you going with yourself. You're giving yourself the resistance that you need to make you feel okay when not doing what you said you were going to do. That's you failing yourself. That's you letting yourself down. Because when you don't do the things that you're going to do and you make yourself feel okay with it, you're convincing yourself that it's okay to not keep your word to you. That's the only person that you should keep your word to. To yourself. Because after you're real with you, you then become so much realer with everyone else. But if you can't keep it real with you and do the things that you said that you were going to do, then how are you going to do it for others? It starts with you. Point blank. The mind doesn't like change. It likes the familiar. That's a true thing, people. That's a true thing. You got to train yourself to do the things that you like to do and want to do. It's so simple. This isn't like the most profound stuff ever. It's simple. These are simple nuggets that I'm putting on a tray and I'm cooking them. And guess what? These nuggets are going to come out so golden and crisp that you're going to want to eat them, because you can't just look at a nugget. Everybody knows a nugget is one of the most desirable things on the planet. You can't look at a nugget and not want that nugget if it's golden and crisp. You're going to want to take it with you. Take these nuggets, because I'm cooking them for you. Those are some good nuggets. Number 7, self-doubt. That fear of failure can often come from a lack of experience and confidence and low self-esteem. If you don't believe that you can handle something or have what it takes, you won't even try. I'm going to go Tony Robbins on y'all for a second. Your beliefs inform the thoughts you think and the actions you take. That's your decisions, which create your results. Those results feed back into your beliefs about yourself and what's possible, which sets off the cycle again. If you're stuck doubting your instincts and what you can handle and avoiding testing what you've got, you'll never find out or gain the experience necessary to increase your confidence. Self-doubt transforms into self-confidence through practice and action. You got to learn to trust your own vision and your ability to execute it, or you'll never make your best life a reality. Point blank, there's things that I've probably had doubt about. And I say probably because I try my best to be as confident as I possibly can. So the thought of me thinking about the time that I had doubt makes me feel like I possibly embrace self-doubt, which I don't like. So I'm going back to being confident because I don't want to practice not being confident. But there was a time when I didn't know to be this confident, and I may have been less confident. All right, I'm trying to be tough about it. Fuck it. Okay, I had some self-doubt early on in stand-up comedy. And the reason why is because when I first went to New York City and I saw other comedians, I realized that I wasn't polished. I realized that my jokes weren't as crisp as others. And the doubt just came behind me asking myself, could I even write jokes? Could I be a good joke writer? What does that mean? Do I have to sit down and actually write a joke from beginning to end? How do you write a joke? I thought it was all about just getting on stage and being funny. These guys have written jokes. I don't know if I can write a joke. I didn't do good in English class. I wasn't the best student. So how am I supposed to sit down and write a joke? Nobody taught me. I gotta do this myself. I gotta figure it out. I don't know how. Man, I'm not gonna be able to do this shit. I'm gonna have to wing it. I was doubting myself. I made something so difficult before even trying to do it. The stigma behind writing a joke was so hard in my head that I was afraid to even try it. And before I tried it, I already fucking doubted myself. I lost. I lost already. Out the gate, I was fucking behind. After taking the second to sit down and actually giving it a try, I realized that writing jokes, it's not difficult because you're writing it for you. You're not writing it for anybody else. Learning structure is the easy part. That's the easy part. I made it hard before I even fucking did it. That's the power of self-doubt. Because now you're back in your own head. Gotta get out your own way. Move out your own way. Sometimes say excuse me to you. Excuse me. Can you get the fuck out the way, please? I'm talking to you. That's right, Kevin. Get the fuck out the way. I'm gonna be honest with y'all. The only thing that I have self-doubt about is thinking about having self-doubt. Because I don't want to doubt myself. So the fear of doubting myself makes me feel like I'm embracing self-doubt. And I ain't going to embrace that shit because I don't want it. You ain't got no home here, self-doubt. That's right. You don't live here. But the thought of me thinking about you living here, does that mean that I'm embracing self-doubt? Because if I am, I'm going to stop this shit right now and go on to the next chapter. I'm not going to embrace that shit. You get the fuck out of my head, self-doubt. Yeah, I don't think I'm thinking about self-doubt right now. Because I'm explaining to y'all that I don't have it and that the fear is having it. So I'm not saying that I have it. I'm saying that the fear would be to have it. So I'm basically not even embracing that. And you should do the same. You kick self-doubt the fuck out. Take your ass home, self-doubt, wherever that is you live. But it ain't in my area code. You lost, self-doubt. Fuck you. Number 8, anger. Ooh, this is going to be a good one. Anger is an intensely powerful but often toxic emotion. If you're constantly full of it, that can mean a few things. One, you're letting people and things in life get under your skin too easily. In other words, you're taking things personally, and you probably act like the world is out to get you. When you stop making other people's behavior and events in life to be slights against you, it's like seeing through the matrix and being in complete control. And feeling anger is fine, okay? Understand that. It's fine. What makes it toxic is when it circulates through your veins beneath the surface and never discharges. Well, you don't break it down. And whether or not it sticks around in your system all comes down to your attitude. Are you constantly looking for ways that people are doing you wrong? Do you have control issues or the need to dominate other people? Are you hiding tender insecurities with explosive reactions? A lot of anger is an immediate secondary response to emotional pain. These are hard questions to answer, but think about it. Think about it for now. Just remember that losing your cool is straight up unproductive. You're wasting energy and tarnishing relationships by letting yourself get owned by flashes of reactivity. It's like sitting on a horse and letting it run wild rather than taking the reins to the harness and controlling it. It's just a sloppy way to operate. When you do find yourself in a place of anger, all you have to do is assess the situation. Assess it. Analyze it. And ultimately, you'll come out with a clear head. You're still going to be frustrated at whatever you're frustrated about. But when you